Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
David Stearns, you are on the clock, my friend. David Stearns and Steve Cohen last year took a Mets team to the NLCS, a team that was mediocre, a team that was underachieving to start the season off, and they got a magic run and made their way to the playoffs, and it was amazing. But the comments that Steve Cohen made and David Stearns made last year to celebrate going into the NLCS, Steve Cohen said that I want the fan base of the New York Mets to experience this as a regular occurrence. Getting to the playoffs every year, winning series, the change has to happen. The reality that the Mets have now taken over as one of the top teams in baseball has to be a thing. The fact that Mets fans can feel comfortable going into a season with high expectations. But what Steve Cohen said, what David Stearns was kind of saying and feeling last year, but what they're doing, two different things. You could sit there and say that Juan Soto's the flashy toy. I'm not going to sit there and deny that. Juan Soto is one of the best players in baseball, and the New York Mets got him. But you can't tell me and you can't sell me on the Mets going into this season. Yes, there's still time left, but you can't sell me that this product is better than it was last year. Last year, the Mets got lucky in a lot of ways. For what Stearns has been building going into this offseason and with 3 weeks or 4 weeks until pitchers and catchers, it's a lot of luck right now. A lot of if this works out. I'm done with the ifs. What the way Steve Cohen spoke was that the New York Mets were going to be the LA Dodgers of the East. In order to do that, in order to talk a big game, you have to act that role. You got to put the big boy pants on. And I know that David Stearns comes from Milwaukee, a smaller market where he doesn't have to or didn't have to go and play in those levels and didn't have to overspend. He had to be creative. He had to find different ways to build a good roster and have it be sustainable for years. But you're playing in the big leagues now. The New York market, a fan base who's been dying to be, consistently good forever. The Mets have never gotten on a run of 3 years in a row to get to the playoffs. Think about that. To even go to the playoffs 3 out of 4 years hasn't been possible, hasn't happened. So we're talking about a team where last year went to the NLCS. Expectations are nothing less than getting back to the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that every year we're going to win the World Series or you're going to try to win the World Series. Yes, of course you're going to try to win the World Series. But I'm not saying every year, oh, this is definitely a World Series team. No, nobody said that about last year's team either. But they were fun. They were a great watch. But that isn't realistic. You look at what the Dodgers, and I know everyone's going to hate me for this because the Dodgers are getting away with so much stuff. Don't get me wrong. The Dodgers are getting lucky every which way. First of all, they spend their money wisely. They have tons of stars that want to go play for them. There's no other star in the history of the game that wants to go and, wants a $700 million contract and is going to defer 98% of their money for 10 years down the road, okay? The Dodgers stepped in one right there, okay? They got Roki Sasaki, who's like, hey, an up-and-coming, international bonus guy, and all of a sudden, I choose the Dodgers. They have the best presentation. Yes, they're going to give you the best chance to win. It's simple. So they got lucky. So when I'm comparing the Dodgers and the Mets, it's not apples to apples because they got a little lucky. They got a little lucky. But they're the same way that Steve Cohen went and overpaid for Verlander and overpaid for Max Scherzer and overpaid for certain guys to come to this franchise, overpaid for Francisco Lindor, overpaid for these guys to come here to New York to get this franchise back to some sort of semblance of respectability. Now you got to pay a little bit more to bring this team above and beyond so that you could, like, people that are saying Vlad Guerrero Jr. needs to be something the Mets work on right now to get a trade for him. No, they're trying to build their prospects up. Like, hello, they don't intend in 5 years from now want to be dishing out crazy contracts every single year. But at the moment, you do have to try to be competitive. You do have to try to be not competitive. You have to show that you have the guts to play with the big boys. You can't talk the game and then not go out and do it. And unfortunately, right now, at 1:27 this Saturday morning, I don't think the Mets have the guts to go out and get the players that need to make this team successful for the next few years. I really don't. And if you want to sit there and say, but they got Juan Soto, I'll just remind you that there's been plenty of teams who had great players in baseball and never sniffed the playoffs. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani were on the same team, for crying out loud, in L.A. How many times did they go to the playoffs? They didn't. So please, if you want to sit here and say that the Mets got Juan Soto and it's a guarantee, you're wrong. The pitching rotation this year that they've built so far, there is a lot more holes than there were last year. Last year, we assumed Kodai Senga was going to be part of that run, part of that team, and he was hurt. He pitched 5 innings. Now we hope he's back. We hope he's healthy. We hope he's effective. We got lucky with Sean Manaea. I'm not saying that I'm upset that he's not here, that he's here. Of course I'm happy that Sean Manaea's back. But now let's not pop the champagne and be like, hey, we got Cy Young all of a sudden. Sean Manaea was never Cy Young. I wanted to push him to get a Cy Young. But let's be realistic here. He wasn't that lights out. He had a stretch. He was good for a certain period of time, and so were the rest of the pitchers. They had a stretch that was incredible. But to sit there and say that the team has gotten that much better is a farce. It just is. And I'm sorry. There is, once you get to the NLCS from last year, once Steve Cohen has bought this team, once you bring in David Stearns, sell the fan base on, hey, this is how it's got to be on the regular. This is what we have to expect on the regular. You can't then go into an offseason, first of all, say goodbye to your first baseman that you don't want to give a reasonable contract to. A guy that could set, you know, you talk about family. Because that's what that's what Steve Cohen talked about. Family. It's family environment. Our team is family. Well, one of your family members wants to be treated with respect, and he's not getting it. It's not about a hometown discount. He already gave that for years. Yeah, Pete Alonso went and bet on himself, and it didn't work. But he was never asking. When people compare Pete Alonso, what he tried to do to with what Aaron Judge did, Aaron Judge was asking for $400 million. Juan Soto was asking for $700 million. Pete Alonso was asking for $200. And I'm not saying, hey, just go give it to him and hand it to him. But there's got to be a middle ground here that you can work out. Don't lowball the guy. Especially what he's going to sentimentally, you know, we talk about the historic side of the New York Mets, which there is none, by the way. It's very little. There's 2 World Series and a couple of guys that you started to retire their numbers. That's about it. We're not talking about a ton of Hall of Famers here, okay? We're not. But you could continue to build the history, and you have a guy right there, Pete Alonso, who you're throwing a cold shoulder to because, hey, this is what the market says. We're not going to outbid ourselves. Well, guess what? All I heard from people last year about Juan Soto, there was no market for Juan Soto to make $50 million a year. That wasn't a thing. But somehow, he got paid that way. So somebody's got to create it. I understand that that negotiations are dirty at times, but come on. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, they're going to go into a season. You just signed Jesse Winker. You know, I'm sure that Jose Iglesias is going to find his way back on this team. You signed AJ Minter. Okay, good. Brought in Sean Manaea. Okay, good. Like, some pieces are returning. That's nice. But, like, you can't sell me anymore on, hey, we brought Sean Manaea in. He's going to be the ace of the staff. When Corbin Burns and Max Fried were available, I much would have rather had the Corbin Burns or the Max Fried than the Sean Manaea. I much rather would have had the Tanner Scotts of the world than AJ Minter. Like, we continue. Now we're stepping down. Like, hey, we don't want to get the best guy at every position. Oh, we can't have that. Really? Because the Dodgers did it. The Yankees have done it in the past. Other teams have done it. So that's where I'm confused. If you're going to talk, again, if you're going to talk the way that Steve Cohen talked and the way that David Stearns has talked, then you better be able to swim in the water. Don't sit there and try to doggy paddle. You better be able to swim. And right now, doesn't look like they want to swim. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Again, hit me up always at Hoff, WFAN. And don't forget, always, download the Odyssey app in case you missed anything at all. You can download it, hit the rewind button, and go back and find it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Drew in Bedminster. What's up, Drew? Welcome to the Fan.
Hey, how's it going tonight? I appreciate the time. I just want to have a conversation real quick about the New York Mets and Juan Soto. I know that a lot of Mets fans are really happy about the signing and bright future for the team, but I just want to have a conversation quick about the contract because Juan Soto's defense is subpar at best, most would say, and he's going to spend a considerable, if not most of his time of his contract as a designated hitter, and his AAV on his contract is $51 million, which is absolutely abysmal for a designated hitter. David Ortiz, one of the greatest DHs of all time, signed the contract with a $16 million AAV. And I just think that it is absolutely outrageous for a team to pay $750 million for a guy who's simply going to swing the bat.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing is, obviously, he's not going to swing the bat the first. I mean, he's going to swing the bat this year, but he's also going to be playing the outfield. So that is, whether you like his defensive skills or not, he's still out there. He's still going to be playing. So he's not just a DH the first year or two or three. And he might transition to first base. There's all these different options that maybe they start to do with Juan Soto there. Hey, listen, he's here for 15 years. Where the Mets are not going to sit here and go, listen, you can't play right field ever again. You're just going to be a DH. No, they're going to try to find a way. He's still young. He's still able to play the field. They're going to get as much out of him as possible. You're right. At some point in time, maybe they do make him a majority of DH, but I'm hoping that's not for at least another 7 or 8 years. But that being said, though, like you're talking about like AAV, like, oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yes, it is. Like maybe you have to, like the way that Steve Cohen went above and beyond the first few years to spend and get an extremely high payroll to be one of the worst teams in the league, by the way, in 2023. You know what? You had to do that to get competitive, to catch up, to be able to build that farm system. But they're still not fully there. So why don't they continue to spend a little bit more? Like, they just shed $70 million, right? Right now, if you look at what the New York Mets Going into the season at the moment, again, things have changed. AJ Minter just signed, so that's obviously changed a little bit. But the other day, they made the biggest drop in payroll compared to what they had last year. They were $345 or $350 million close to that, and they shed about $70-plus million from where they were. So, and that was with Juan Soto. So you still have room to continue to grow, and that's okay. You know, I understand that there's going to be younger guys that are going to be on this team that are going to contribute and are going to have to contribute. But you to say the words, we want sustained success, you can't rely on Brett Beatty again. You can't rely on bringing back Jose Iglesias, a Jeff McNeil that's been struggling since he signed the contract. You know, you can't rely on all these pieces that hope they work out. You have to actually go out and spend a little bit of money. So, yeah, Juan Soto might be overpaid, but it's worth it because he hopefully will attract other people to come here.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that, and I agree with that. I mean, we can definitely agree that he's overpaid, but at the end of the day, I think that the Mets as a franchise are just a little bit misguided at this point. I mean, at the end of the day, all they know is that they have Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor, and then other than that, they really have no direction. I mean, what do they got, Mark Vientos? I mean, I don't really know. They don't know what they're doing at the first base position. All the Mets fans were booing Pete Alonso out of town until he took a Devin Williams airbender backside for a home run in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden he's the hero, and everybody loves him again, but then now they're saying that they're not going to re-sign him. So what's the deal? I mean, Mets fans don't know what's going on. The rest of the MLB doesn't know what's going on. And I mean, I think it's kind of a big question mark for a team that just shelled out so much money for such a big player that is missing such a cornerstone of a team.
Drew, good call. Here's the one thing I will say is that the Mets, I think, have a better vision than they want to tell us. They obviously have a better vision. You know, you may not see it, and most people, I think, outside of New York and the Mets fans will say, yeah, you got Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor, and that's about it. What else do you have? And I'm not going to sit there and say that they're so wrong. Mark Vientos going into his second full year, I mean, there's a lot to put on his shoulders, especially making him move to first base, which is probably what they're going to do. They're probably going to move Mark Vientos to first base. They're going to bring up Brett Beatty, make him play third base. Iglesias is going to spell second and third whenever they want to give a defensive replacement for either McNeil or Beatty. And the outfield is going to be Nimmo, Siri / Tyrone Taylor at center field, and Soto at right field. And your DH is going to be Jesse Winker, Starling Marte with your catcher Francisco Alvarez. I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's not very sexy. Juan Soto is sexy. Francisco Lindor, sexy. And then after that, I think there's a huge drop. Like, Brandon Nimmo to me is a bottom of the order guy. He's a bottom four guy. He's either 6, 7, 8, 9 in the lineup. He's not a top five guy. Jose Iglesias, he had a great season. He's a contact hitter, but I mean, he's basically Luis Arraez. He's a contact hitter. Last year, he actually gave a little bit more pop. His OPS was a little bit higher, but he's typically not that guy. Brett Beatty, we haven't seen anything out of Brett Beatty's bat since his first major league game where he hit a home run in Atlanta. I haven't seen anything to impress. Last year, a little bit, he was going oppo. He looked like he was a little bit chill. He looked like he was a little bit like calmed down. He was able to go oppo a little bit more, and that seemed to find a groove, and then he just went flat. So I don't really see anything Brett Beatty consistent level-wise that I'm like, oh, this guy could play every day. And his glove wasn't all that great. You know, we talk about Pete Alonso being a bad defender at first base. We talk about Mark Vientos not being a great third baseman. I don't know how he's going to look being a first baseman, but Brett Beatty, I'll tell you this much. Brett Beatty's defense did not call for him to stay on that roster, stay in the lineup. It was not very good. There was a lot to desire with him at third base. Brett Beatty was sloppy, his arm wasn't all that fantastic, and he looked nervous. His range started to build a little bit, but you can't have a rough third base fielder and someone who can't hit the ball. Can't do that. But that's what they're talking about. That is a conversation. That Brett Beatty is going to see more opportunity. I got to be honest with you. I don't want to see it. I don't. I'd much rather have Pete Alonso at first base, Mark Vientos at third base. I'd much rather almost trade for Nolan Arenado and see him at third base than let's go down the route of Brett Beatty again. Like, I'm not trying to say that I'm not a Brett Beatty guy. I want to give the kid an opportunity. But there's a disconnect when he comes up to the majors. He's not ready yet. He said that his first year, then he got hurt. And then last year again, he was not ready. Maybe he just needs more time. Maybe not everybody needs to come up as a kid. It's just a possibility. 888-808-1019. Charlie, John, we'll get back into your phone calls. Again, the Mets, the flashy toy of Juan Soto. But David Stearns and Steve Cohen said a lot of things. Said they were going to be competitive. Sustained success. But that yet, they're not swimming with the big boys just yet. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN.